Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
She's the only one standing between us getting out of here at all in total anarchy.
Yeah, but she's not the
she's
one in
charge. She's exhausted, she's worked 18 hours straight, and she suspects we all hate her just as much as you do. So what do you say we give her a break? Let her get back to a job I'm guessing is a lot more thankless than yours.
This airline sucks. Just get your boss. This is ridiculous.
This is Film Sack. Oh, sure.
Hello and welcome to Film Sack. This is Film Sack, mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind for the weekend of Saturday, February
Saturday in the park,
18th, 2023. I'm Scott Johnson, joined today by Brian. He's very charming and handsome, but don't take your eye off of him, Dunaway.
Nope, up here. Watch me. Oh, hi.
Hi.
This week on Film Sack, we make a flight plan back to 2005 and then argue with HBO Max that, no, not that movie, the other one, the one we booked 6 months ago. The thriller that takes place on a plane with the smart, attractive, and capable lady and that one guy who always plays the bad guy and is like a terrorist or something. And he is threatening her family if she doesn't play along, and they have to fight on the plane. And oh, the toilet is backed up on that one. Oh, the toilet is backed up on that one. Says who? Randy. Oh, in that case, sure, I guess. But I want a comment card. Anywho, if I'm ever in a situation that requires me to use the skills I learned in high school sports and activities combined with the knowledge I use as a podcaster and motivated by a recent emotional trauma to thwart a terrorist on a plane, well, we're all screwed. Unless that terrorist needs somebody to use a sky phone to call into a podcast about Wes Craven's obsession with shooting scenes near and around toilets. Then I segue, excuse myself, go to the sky shitter. On the way back, conveniently run into Tim Capello from Lost Boys and sneak his sexy saxophone back to my seat and stab the terrorist in the neck with it. And then he runs down the aisles gasping and tooting something that sounds like a sax solo from Billy Joel's Born to Run. That could work. Never the victim. Randy, I'm waiting on that comment card.
Oh, my Lord.
You had me up until Billy Joel's Born to Run. Hold on a second.
Yeah, hold on now.
Tim Capello. Oh, you didn't like the Born to Run?
I didn't know Billy Joel ever did a version of that.
Did I say Billy Joel?
You did.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, you said Billy Joel, but we knew who you meant.
I mean, you didn't even say like Bruce Dickinson or Bruce Boxleitner's Born to Run or, you know, another Bruce.
Yeah, all the Bruces.
Bruce,
get your Bruces straight.
Did I typo that? I even looked it up before I did it.
Yeah, well. Now,
right.
And now we're here.
One.
It's all fine. You got the music genius in the room. It's difficult. I get it.
That was just baiting.
It worked.
Well, now that we're done
baiting. Bruce Springsteen is who we're looking for.
That's who he's looking for. There
Scott,
you go.
Scott will fix that in post.
Yeah, don't worry about it. I'll do it with an AI voice. I'll train it on you and we'll all be good. Also with us, Randy, sometimes his shitty flight phones don't work in storms. Jordan.
Yep. Aloha, Scott. Brian.
Yeah.
And thank you for coming against your will to this little symposium on how to pull off terrorist attacks and get away with it. It's not easy to do. For instance, to assassinate a major government official on U.S. soil without your plot being spoiled by police of various kinds. But you know that, don't you? you're all very, very, very well-funded terrorists who can somehow afford to spend months on your plan, which is going to work. I promise. It's going to work. It'll work as long as you follow my three easy rules. Number one, don't just figure out where your target is going to be and when and shoot them or use a grenade or something. That wouldn't be scary enough. You need to write out a plan that sounds like the outline of an Alexandre Dumas book. Number two, don't only work with your most trusted criminal associates. Bring in some extra victims who you'll play cat and mouse games with to make them do your bidding. I mean, sure, you could just hack a computer system and get your way, but kidnapping someone and forcing them to do a social engineering attack, it'd be so much more fun. Number three, no plan survives first contact with the enemy, especially when that enemy is a woman who reads pop psych books. When it all goes to hell, you're going to have a choice between putting on a gorgeous scarf, girl, while you make your escape, and going for revenge on the people who screwed you. In every case, you should go for revenge. You're a rational man, and she's an emotional woman. What could go wrong?
Nothing. Zero can go wrong.
Everything. Nothing.
Oh, that scarf. Thinnest, tiniest scarf you could possibly find.
Yep.
It's like a... Yeah. You're wrapping a present, well, you're ribbon, you're around a present with that.
Yeah, thing. Just enough to cover your pen hole you got in your nest.
Yes.
Also with us, and finally, Brian, he used to write me love letters using his finger and hand soap in the airplane bathroom as well. Mm. Ibbit.
I sure did. I wish I had some inspirational music for this. All right. The travel season is a time for family, for friends, for new couples who are embarking on their first journey together, and for seasoned travelers getting some last frequent flyer miles for a future splurge. But the busy travel season is also a time for stress, and we here at Fresh Air Lines, I'm not sure how our name works, we feel like we let you down. Not just with our cancellations, delays, frequent equipment failures, lost bags, and cheap snacks, but with our bad practice of letting psychopathic killers not only pick their own seats on flights, but pick the seats of their intended victims.
Yes.
Yes, at Fresh Air Lines, we care. We care enough to make sure our apathetic flight attendants work extra long shifts for the promise of stock options and shrinking paychecks to make them extra fed up by the time they get to your flight. By the time you're barely greeted by our attendants, they'll be saltier than the bags of dry snacks that always seem to contain a few too many of those pretzel sticks and not enough Melba toast circles. We're even going to relax our policies about awkwardly fornicating in our unusually spacious bathrooms. By the time you walk sheepishly out of that bifold door, we'll forgive the horrible sounds coming out of that room and whatever the hell that is you've smeared all over the mirror. Seriously, we're probably going to have to replace that whole console.
Yeah.
So, to sum up, we're sorry. We're sorry about the horrible flight experiences. We're sorry about the near-death headbutting from unruly passengers. But most of all, we're sorry we let you down. So, we're going to make it up to you. And if we fail again, what are you going to do? Fly Spirit instead?
Nice little dig at Spirit.
Yeah,
always got to get the dig
always
in.
Get it in. It's a garbage airline. It's worse.
Because I still have Southwest miles or else I would use them.
So you felt like I did about the bathroom scene being like,
really
okay,
huge.
So did everybody just look away and not pay attention to the bathroom at all while all that was going on?
No, dude, the girl
in there,
the girl herself, this drove me crazy. The girl
she
who was standing, she was right there and she saw him go boom and slam her to the wall and shut the door.
Right.
And then she walked back.
But
going,
that's okay.
A man went in there.
I'm like, that's your takeaway?
What are we talking about?
She got her comeuppance with that suitcase.
Did we watch a movie? It's called Flight Plan.
Oh, yeah. We watched Flight
Plan. Do you have any details about that movie?
Flight Plan. Did you literally just call it Flight Plan? It's called Red Eye.
I mean, Turbulence.
I'm sorry. Passenger 50. Wait, what is it? It is called Red Eye, and Scott Fletcher will tell us more.
Red Eye. A woman is kidnapped by a stranger on a routine flight. Threatened by the potential murder of her father, she is pulled into a plot to assist her captor in a political assassination.
Oh.
Wait, I didn't really gather it was political, but I guess so.
Oh, I mean, besides the politician who was talking and then...
No, I got...
With a butt for a chin? Come on.
I got all that. I just... The whole time it would be like, hey, Scott, this guy is a business dude who's rich and has his family in a fancy plane. Yeah. And it just never...
It could have easily just been... They didn't go into the politics of it. They just said he was a rich politician. You're right. He could have been rich businessman.
All interchangeable.
But no, like the movie went out of its way to show him on a television in the airport.
Oh, yeah.
And established that like we say multiple times that he's the director of the Department of Homeland Security.
That's right. That's right.
And they're terrorists.
Right. Yeah. Like it was pretty clear, but I'm with you. My kid sat the whole movie and kept referring to that guy as a billionaire. And I'm like, no, he just kept doing it over and over. Like, they're just going to
watch the movie, Dad.
They're trying to kill a billionaire. I'm like, no, they're really not. They're really
no, son. He's a politician. Politicians are owned by billionaires.
Right. Yes. Exactly.
Yeah. I'm with the boy. I felt like the way he was portrayed, because that wasn't a government plane. That was like a fancy little. Private Elon Musk looking ass plane.
I mean, it's a plane big enough for his son to throw a little Nerf football in, but
I guess so.
This is plane movie of logic. Regardless, anytime you're filming a movie in a plane, whether it be high class, first class, coach, doesn't matter. It's always going to be huge inside.
Yeah, planes are not that big. I was going to say I've not been on a plane that had that many rows to it. I went to China,
especially not flying from Texas to Miami.
That's an international. The 2-3 or 2-4-2 cross layout, that is like a cross country or international. That's not like you're going halfway across the country kind of plane.
Also, those things have like four bathrooms on one like they're double decker usually. There's four bathrooms on the one floor. She didn't need to wait there for that guy to poo. She could have gone anywhere and taken one of the other ones. Like, that's what I would have actually done. He would have been out of line of sight with Zippy over there. Go to a bathroom that isn't being used. My gosh, there were some things in this that drove me nuts. Love this movie. I still think this thing holds up, and Red Eye is a badass movie. I think it's great.
We're complaining about the smallest of issues with this movie, because really this is a tight, fast, intense movie that gets the job done. So it was a late summer release, just like Flight Plan in 2005. Both of them were this summer action movies that were coming out, and we got delivered. It got delivered.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's great.
It's good. It's a little tropey for my
I'm eating my popcorn. It's hot outside. I'm glad to be inside the cool theater, eating my popcorn. I don't care. Yeah. Make it louder. More race.
I can't remember if I've even seen this one before, because I might have been thinking about, I was like, wait, is Lauren Holly in this? No, wait, is Jake Gyllenhaal in this, or Halle Berry? Right. Or it wasn't until it started that I was like, oh yeah, okay, these two. But there was nothing that surprised me throughout the story. There was no like, oh, that's a really clever way to do that, or oh wow, okay, that's a surprise.
Because you've seen 24, and this movie is three episodes of 24. That's all it is.
The things I was shocked by
72.
Right. The things I was shocked by was the brilliant pacing, because when you say we're going to film an intense movie on a plane and we're going to be very close, there's no place to run, and we got to keep it secret, it's very intense. And then when they finally get off the plane, there's this amazing foot race through the airport and all the way back to her house. It just like I said, the thing that surprised me in this movie was just the ability to pace it in such a way that
well,
just kept
Well, yeah, I agree with you 100%. I also would say the only real other big surprise for me is that Wes Craven directed this, because it just doesn't feel like a Wes Craven movie to me. And at all, like even Scream was a more modern take from him and the Scream movies in general, but they're still, slasher horror movies. Yeah, this is more like a Hitchcock film. Exactly.
Yeah.
It's a, this taut sort of psychological thriller. Not used to that from him. What I did expect was when that pen went into his neck, that we'd get a fountain of blood, but no, we don't get any of that.
I love the doctor saying he's like, oh, that's not even dangerous. Whatever, you just got a pin in your neck.
Guy was such a weenie.
Your windpipe. He was. Yeah,
just don't touch it. Yeah. Just don't touch it, or you might hurt, damage your voice box or something. Like, it was a lot of lines delivered in 2 seconds. in that moment. I was just like, man, shut up. Like, this is way too much. I can't deal with all this information about this guy's pen in his neck.
I think you should bill him for his quick diagnosis. You should send him a bill.
God, he was so annoyed the whole time. Yeah. It must be. I kind of was thinking about that. I was wondering if the writer wrote that. It's like, I bet it's annoying to be a doctor when you had to go on a flight. Because at any moment, someone could like call you to work, right? It's like, is there a doctor on the plane?
Exactly, And it could be anything. Somebody got in a fight. This lady tripped. This guy had a heart attack. Like all that. Someone's choking on their fish dinner or whatever the hell they got.
Yeah. It's like, God, I hate flying.
Yeah.
My best, I've flown a lot, but my best flight story is actually one that I wasn't on. My brother-in-law had a guy die sitting right next to him. Was in that situation where my brother-in-law was sitting in the aisle seat and there was only one other seat. It was against the window. And that person had a massive heart attack and just like went to sleep.
Right.
And my brother-in-law didn't even really know. Like it was when they were getting up, you know, like we've landed, we're getting up. This guy has not moved. And it like slowly dawned on him. Wow. He really hasn't moved at all.
Right.
Yeah. And he just, you know, he told somebody, I think we've got a real problem over there. And he went on with his life. Like it was just like, what are you going to do?
Yeah. I don't know what you would do. You're not going to, I guess you just report it and then.
Yeah.
Get out of there. I don't know, dude. Right. That's awful.
Could I have another seat, please?
Yeah. No, we'd like you to sit with him all the way back to Miami or wherever you're going.
Sorry, sir. That's your assigned seat. I really want to move.
Yeah.
Sorry, plane's full. You're going to have to just stay right there.
Put the recently deceased in the upper overhead bin securely before we take off.
And this is, I'm trying to remember now. We know we lost Carrie Fisher a few years back, right? Yeah. And she died. Did she have a heart attack on the plane and died then, or was it later? I thought she had the heart attack.
Yeah.
Was that right?
I thought.
Didn't she die at home? She died on a plane?
I don't know. Maybe she was having a heart attack on the plane. I thought it was some kind of connective tissue. I'm getting all names wrong, so maybe I've got the wrong person.
Who's going to make it through the Wikipedia first?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're correct that she did report a medical emergency during a flight.
Okay.
But she died at a hospital.
Okay. That's what I wasn't sure about. I knew that she had.
Right. Oh, yeah, okay. Here it is. She was on a commercial flight December 23rd, 2016, London to Los Angeles, where she had a medical emergency around 15 minutes before it landed. Passenger seated near Fisher reported that she had stopped breathing. They administered CPR on the plane until paramedics arrived. She was then stabilized but unresponsive. They took her to the medical center.
So she died on the plane, then was revived, and then died.
Yeah, she was on a ventilator for a while in the hospital and then passed away shortly after. Okay. So, that would have been intense. Not only would your guy next to you dies, he just dies silently, right?
Yeah,
that's one thing. Carrie Fisher, freaking Princess Leia from Star Wars, does it. I would lose my mind on that flight. I know. Like, oh my gosh, they're giving her mouth to mouth and pounding her chest or whatever they're going to do.
I know it's too soon, even for me now. But I want to see her force ghost. I'd be looking around.
You would look around for her force ghost. Shut up. That is too soon, but also funny as hell.
Well, I mean, it's better than what I came up with. Is there a doctor on the plane, or can Obi-Wan Kenobi help her? He's her only hope.
Yeah. He's only out there.
The only hope. That's the only one. Real quick.
Only because we love her so much could we ever even.
No, of course. I don't think he even had to disclaim
we
that.
We joke with love.
The one that always gets me is the hip hop artist Juice WRLD. Juice WRLD, I think, was flying from L.A. to Chicago, or maybe the other direction. But whichever way he was going, he was like really, really ill. Like he had the flu and it was bad. Yeah. And he overdosed on like DayQuil or something. Like he just like gave himself too much. Over-the-counter
dangerous.
Meds. He had other stuff. He had other stuff in him at the time too, which contributed.
Right,
but you're right. He was.
You can get Tylenol poisoning from DayQuil, which actually what I did, and I had to go to the hospital one time for that because I didn't realize that DayQuil is just as dangerous as NyQuil.
It can be. Well,
just like
you know what I like. I like the ZQuil. That's what I like.
Tasty.
Yeah, it makes you sleep.
Yeah,
NyQuil
Zero is my favorite.
NyQuil Zero.
Yeah, way fewer calories.
it's good for your diabetics and your, you know, people are trying to avoid the sugars.
Exactly,
I get it. We had a really awesome DC Marvel crossover here. We got Rachel McAdams, who was in the Doctor Strange.
Doctor Strange.
Yeah, two Doctor Stranges. And so we got her, and then you got Brian Cox, who was
Striker. Looking good, boy.
Yeah. I think nice Brian Cox looked good in
this movie. What happened to him between this movie and like a minute later when he got old?
I think
exactly.
He looked good, but boy, his hair. It's like, can I get the pedophile, please? Just a little off the side.
I didn't say he didn't have the pedophile.
And please shave the sideburns, but make sure you grow the beard out past beyond the ears on the chin.
He walked out of Sally's with a few hair dyes.
Yeah, but he just looks so. But he looks so much older. Like 5 minutes later, he looked. Yeah.
He looked
so
older. I
here.
Think he looked older as Stryker. Like, and that was years before this. Yeah. So he's just whatever. You change a guy's hair, it changes everything. But he's in it. So you got Stryker, and then you got Murphy, who's the DC side. You got the Scarecrow.
Scarecrow. Yeah.
Right.
So I always like seeing that when we got a lot of comic booky people hanging out in the same
Jack film.
Jackson Ripner. That's a great name.
I we talked about this, but was it Laura Johnson was the blonde woman, and she's kind of our chick in the bucket because she just kept seeming like she's gonna be a bigger part of the story and just nothing.
Scarf lady?
Yeah, I don't know.
No, like, the lady with the bag in the overhead.
Scarf lady. Okay. Yeah. All right. So like, fair point. She was there for get the thing in the overhead and thank him profusely and then take my scarf. That was your
She was a distraction, much. Essentially.
Yeah, did she? I mean, I certainly wasn't at the end of the movie saying, gosh, I wonder what happened with her.
Yeah.
Right.
Did she ever get her scarf back?
Yeah. I wondered what happened to her because I kept waiting on her to be like a secret agent or something. And she was also because she was just always up into business. And if you watch really closely, it was funny. If you watch really closely, when she walks down the aisles, there's other men who keep turning around and staring at her butt as she walks by. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know what was going on there, but I felt like the movie was trying to tell me, like, this person's important.
Maybe we lost this.
I wanted old Angela Patton to be that. The innkeeper from Groundhog Day.
Will you be staying in Punxsutawney long?
Yeah.
She died the same time as Carrie Fisher, by the way. But anyway,
I loved her so much.
Like, what if she turned out to be a Sky Marshal? That would have been fun.
Oh, man. She'd pull a gun out of that stupid Dr. What's his name book and
Dr. Phil.
She was just
a Dr. Phil reader.
Yeah. Pick it out and go, hey, hold still. I'm a cop. She's great. She's good in everything she was ever in. And she died at 83. Nice long life.
She's so enjoyable, though.
Yeah, she's great.
And Jemma Mays is Cynthia. She just plays a perfect.
Okay, I got questions about her. Can we talk about this for a second? Because she is so infinitely familiar to me, but I went and looked at her entire IMDb, and I don't think I've seen hardly any of the stuff she says she's in or that says she's in. I'm sure she's in all of them, but she's in something that I know is way more prominent for her role, and I can't
for
find
sure.
her.
There's something.
Did you watch the Millers?
We had the same thing. We're like, who is she? What do we know her from? We're looking through her IMDb. None of this. We didn't watch Glee. We didn't watch, Ugly Betty, Ghost Whisperer.
Y'all watched Paul Blart, though, right?
I mean, I saw Paul Blart one time, but I didn't remember anybody from it.
No, like even Kevin James.
She was the love interest, right? She was Amy. Right, she was the main one.
But that's not it. It's something bigger. It's something more prominent. I cannot put my finger on it.
It's this movie.
Maybe. This movie
was only her second credit. She kind of, never really rose back to this level. If you look at her list, she's in a lot of TV and
that Disenchanted business that's on Disney Plus now.
If you go, it's just the fact that she looks like somebody else. I mean, there's comparisons to Anna Faris. She's definitely got a little Anna Faris in her, but I think this is the one that we're all thinking of.
Don't we all have a little Anna Faris?
I'm going to paste in from totallylookslike.com, and it'll explain why we think we've seen Jemma Mays before.
Okay. This makes perfect sense then, that you say it, because
she looks like
Brian
Bambi.
Brian Ibbett has shown us a comparison between this actress and Bambi, the deer.
You nailed it.
It's funny because if you do a search for it, Jemma Mays looks like, It's the second Baby. Result.
That is hilarious.
That's great.
Yeah. But yeah, no, there is some other actress that she totally looks like. It's, you know,
the cell phone lady. Maybe
the one for AT&T that, yeah, I know maybe. Exactly what you're talking about.
I remember from, I've watched Paul Blart so many times and I've watched Epic Movie a pretty good bit. So it, she just looked like those characters to me.
Maybe I'm thinking of, she was in 34 episodes of The Millers, but I never saw The Millers. See, these are all things I just didn't see. And she's had plenty of work. She's all been
very prominent in Glee. That's the your one shot is.
Yeah, and I never saw Glee.
Like, remember from Glee.
Four episodes max of Glee, and
you saw more than I did. You saw more than I did, so I really can't explain it.
Why the Glee hate? Did it make you sad? Was there no Glee in the Glee for you?
Yeah, there was no Glee in the Glee hate. They lost me when they
did you keep going, this isn't fame.
When they redid Jonathan Colton's Baby Got Back and didn't give him credit, and when they redid what was it? The Beach Boys, God Only Knows, and didn't give, who's the a cappella vocalist? Oh, I'm never going to remember her name, but didn't give her credit either. It was like, oh, okay, well, you know, no one's ever heard of these people. We could totally just do their covers, and it'll sound fresh because we've got, you know, NBC backing, because nobody will ever have heard of these in the mainstream, so...
How did you feel about what was that musical cop show? What was that?
Cop Rock.
What'd you feel about that?
Greatest show of the 80s.
Okay. Just asking. Okay. Just checking the temperature.
I can't remember when it was, whatever it was.
I don't remember that at all. I've heard of it. I've never seen it. I have no idea what
Stephen Bochco. I wonder if that's streaming anywhere. Cause that's,
I'm sorry. That's a Bochco joint. Really?
Yeah. 1990 Cop Rock. Was it ABC or something place? Yeah.
Are you kidding me? That was
no, I wish I was kidding. Yeah.
Maybe we need to watch this for one of our watch alongs if it's streaming somewhere someday. I don't know.
It is. It doesn't appear to be, but,
not even on one of our favorite.
We can get the complete series for $18 on
right.
On Amazon. Oh, that's some great actors in there. You had the
It was the Love Boat of his time, right?
CCH Pounder was in that. Ronnie Cox. Oh man, James McDaniel, love him.
Yeah,
I don't know anything about Cop Rock.
I never saw it. I just want to come back to Jemma Mays as the. Little woman back at the hotel. It's a really interesting trope because it's two tropes. One, you don't know that Lisa is the big damn hero. The whole movie, you don't know. You just think she's just a victim. She's getting beaten up in a plane. You just don't realize that she's going to end up being an action hero by the end of this thing.
Right.
And because of that, you don't realize that Cynthia is the hero's sidekick. And they throw that into the movie way too late, because when you finally get that awesome stinger of the two of them walking in slow motion across the hotel lobby, which you would not be in if there had been an explosion in a hotel, you would not be inside the hotel.
People would be like, you were okay. We're 30 floors below all the where the stuff just happened. We're totally fine here.
Yeah.
When They're you gone. Finally get to that moment with the cool sidekick moment, it's too late. You haven't had time to catch up with what these characters actually are, and that's a shame because they're badass.
I'm not sure. I've seen this movie before, so I kind of knew where it was going. I couldn't remember a lot of it. It's been years since I've seen it, but immediately when I saw the opening scenes and they were showing her childhood photos and stuff, and I'm like, oh, yeah, there she's going to use that skill from that photo.
Yeah,
she's used skills from this photo. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's going to kick trash. Oh, she's got a scar on her chest. Oh, yeah, mm-hmm. She's got some emotional trauma. Yeah. It was troping it up pretty hard.
I'm not sure
if that's because I knew. Like I could have some residual memories, or if I was just picking it up.
I think it's easily picked up, but I also think I actually think it worked really well. I think she was.
I love that kind of stuff.
Kind of
very well telegraphed beforehand. This will be important later on.
I think she's vulnerable.
I love when that happens.
She's vulnerable and badass at the same time, and I like that.
I love that they ended up making it Home Alone for a few minutes. It's like, oh, you're in my house now, bitch.
Right, yeah.
Well, you know, home.
Good thing my dad didn't read you my room, because I know exactly where my stuff is.
And we had a 5-minute conversation by the beginning of the movie. That's how you know.
So there really was no wasted line in the first 15 minutes of this movie. There was not a single thing that didn't get reused by the script later to explain the end.
Yeah.
It was pretty tight.
Very tight. I loved it.
Very tight. Very great pacing. Never felt like I never got bored. It was just like bam, 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 bam. Let's go. And boy, when he hit her in the head, they're sitting in the chair.
Oh, that first headbutt. Holy cow.
That was
his
rough.
Hair flies around. You have to have like kind of loose hair to make that look effective, right? Yeah. He did. It's like,
I love when movies do something so dumb and just go on and never even explain it. This movie depicted him as cutting his forehead and cutting it enough that a huge drop of blood is running down his face.
Yeah.
And then his forehead's fine. Rest of the movie. You never once see a cut on his forehead, even though
if you ever cut your forehead, boy, it is going to bleed profusely.
And you're going to see the wound. Like, this movie, the rest of the movie takes place in about 4 hours. Yeah. And like, he is mended. This guy is Wolverine.
He really is. Cause I mean, if you get above the hairline, basically, is the deal.
That's where the problem was.
At the end, he hadn't had enough time to heal, to have his magic mutant healing, heal his freaking neck hole. But there's no way.
If I get a pin in the neck, I'm not moving for at least a week. I'm just going to lay there.
Yeah. It really fired him up. Also, he's the most, his name is Jack, but he should be called Jack Tripper because that dude tripped on everything. He tripped on the girl's luggage when she kicked it out to the side. That was pretty funny. It made me laugh. Yeah. And then later is at the house and same thing happens.
All over the house. Yeah.
He's just tripping on everything, which.
So is there a requisite limit to at least one person who's either never flown before or is flying cross country by themselves as a child in these movies? There's always a kid flying by themselves.
Yeah. Sure. You need the, oh my gosh, I'm so nervous about my first flight kind of character.
Yeah.
And you're going to meet them all. That's the thing about this trope. If you're going to put all the different stereotypes into a flight, you also have to have one of the people, your main character on the flight, meet every single one of them. Like, have you ever been on a flight where you met more than two
the
people?
The person next to you.
Oh, God, no.
You know? No. If that,
I do think I get not to meet the person next to me.
Yeah.
And this particular flight, by the way, had the most interactive staff that ever flew. They're everywhere. Talking to you. Oh, I just wanted to check in on you. Are you kidding? Yeah. That's never happened.
I think the last time I flew, I think we got a drink and nuts and I saw them once. That was it. This place had we got coffee, we got vodka, we got, what do you want? We got everything.
They got everything.
Imagine.
And they do hand signals. You got the lady over there telling you to sit down. She's like mouthing it. And
sit down.
Never seen that. That was new. Yeah. For any plane ride I've ever been on.
No, and it's like they would not do it quietly. They get on the speaker and say, "The captain has not turned off the fasten seatbelt light, so everybody should be sitting down right now."
But this is why you can't make a movie on a plane, is because there's enough people that's been on planes. We're just going to call bullshit on everything you do.
Exactly. It's got to be way more cramped. Like, there's barely enough width of the aisle for one person to walk down, let alone two.
They did use a cool technique, I thought, that was kind of both obvious but also cool, and that was during the scenes where kind of things were quiet on the plane. And I just put a thing in our Discord. They always lit him. He was always
I thought he's got his light on and he's
aimed it at his face.
There's something about how that looked in contrast to every other seat that I thought was a cool.
Yeah, like I said, the visual language in this movie was very, everything in this movie was clear. It's like, no, you're not missing anything. It's coming straight at you. Hour and 25 minutes, and that's with 10 minutes of credits. Yep. So this thing is super
concise.
Tight. Yes.
Yeah. Concise is nice, as I always say.
And Scott, I mean, Cillian Murphy is just always good. He's he really knows how to pick scripts and really knows what to do with the characters he chooses. And this is going back to him being, like, he's like 26 when they made this movie. And he was already... It's just such a legendary performer.
He's amazing. Yeah. We're a few years after 28 Days Later, which was a real breakout in the States for him, or worldwide, I should say. This is interesting because there's a little trivia about this. Cillian Murphy, however the hell you say it.
Cillian Murphy
wanted the role of Jackson so bad that he took a plane from England to Hollywood 2 days before his wedding to have lunch with Wes Craven. Craven later gave him the part, saying it was his eyes that won him over.
Well, yeah, sure.
His eyes are pretty
dreamy eyes.
Have you guys seen the trailer for Red Eye?
No. Oh, it's like a rom-com. It's weird.
It's great. Really?
It's like intentionally make you think it's a rom-com?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, by the end, they give you, they kind of drop the ball, but you wouldn't know for like the first minute and a half of that trailer. It's crazy.
And it's playing out the movie like in micro, and it's like at the end of it, they zoom in on Cillian Murphy's eye and it turns red. And then you got like a scene that's not even in the movie. Her hand hits on the glass. It's like an outside shot and her hand hits on the glass like,
yeah,
it's Wes Craven.
That's awesome.
It's actually really worth seeing. It's good. It's really cool.
And I hate to just keep asking this question, but like, because like this was the whole point of my intro. The meet cute didn't need to be part of the plot. Like, he's really taking a lot of risks before getting on the plane. Right. Like, it's not necessary. Your plot is going to work as long as you sit next to this woman. Right. And then do what you're going to do. All of that stuff in the airport is just like, it's just like movie. It's a movie.
It's its own movie.
It's not what, yeah. What a terrorist would actually do, you know?
No, I agree. I just think you're right. They go to the great lengths to make him charming, and he buys her drink at the bar, and we've run into each other again. He defends her when the guy's being a dick and all that stuff. Is it necessary? No, but I'm glad because it makes me hate him more.
Yeah, because like, because he says he's been watching her for
so
8 weeks.
So deceitful.
He knows a lot about her, but not everything. And
it's a lull into a false sense of security for her. I feel like it's, if nothing else, it's just to throw her off guard for the first few minutes there on the flight before he turns.
Yeah, and it's kind of amazing
once her full story is revealed. It's kind of amazing that she will let anybody close to her, because it's only been 2 years since she was raped and stabbed, essentially, that she would even entertain a rope. So she's probably just now getting on the rebound from thinking about that kind of
bullshit. Was there a rape? I didn't think there was a rape, was there?
Yeah, no, she said.
Yeah, she was raped. Yeah.
That part. Crap.
That's the reason why I'm not a victim, buddy.
Dang, that's much more hardcore. I didn't realize that. Okay, so we know, right? We know we're going to get this dude's going to snap and turn out to be totally different than what she thinks. But it's part of the fun of going, no, don't let him do that. Oh, crap, he's sitting next to her now. Oh, crap, she doesn't know what's coming. Like, that's
if you're yelling at the screen, they made the movie right.
Yeah, I think that's what I think that's what you're supposed to feel, at least I think.
It's just the whole plot.
Sure.
The whole thing. It depends on there not being another working phone anywhere on that plane.
One goes down, they kind of all go down.
Sure, but I'm saying, like, from the moment, from the go, like, we sit down and he tells her what's going on. All she has to do is get another person on the plane to use the phone, right? Like, it's done. We're good.
Let's talk about that for a second. What phone? Like the in-flight phones? Or
yeah,
the
in-flight phones. Yeah. The flight
phones. So get someone else to use
a phone.
Yeah.
For what?
To turn around and scream, I need someone to pick the phone up and put a credit card into it and call 911. Like, that's it. Like, it's just like,
but wouldn't that kill her dad?
But that'd kill her dad, right? No?
No, because he's just told her, if you don't do what I tell you, I have to call my guy. Like, how's he gonna?
I thought it was the reverse. He would if he didn't call.
If he doesn't hear from him,
they flipped it. It's kind of weird, because I thought I heard the same thing too, but I'm not sure if I did, and I need to go back and watch. But he makes a point a lot of times, say he never lies. Did he lie in that instance? Because up until that point, he didn't lie about anything. So does he lie or not?
Well, but in this case, he actually made mention of the fact that he needs to hear from me for me to stop his killing.
The second time,
that's why the assassin's on the doorstep, because he hadn't heard from
exactly.
Right.
So did he actually lie? That's what I was wondering.
It was hours later. The assassin finally makes his move hours later. I'm saying that if she just raises any alarm and there is another working phone on the plane, then we're good. Like she gets right out of this predicament. It's the dumbest predicament.
Do you think he kept his phone at low battery and also a piece of shit phone? Like, do you think that was on purpose?
Right.
Because boy, no, really...
because I think it's like everybody had phones that were nearly out of battery power back then.
I didn't appreciate how they were treating Nokia in this movie.
It was right?
They did Nokia dirty, you think? A little bit?
Yeah, that was bullshit.
Okay. I don't know. I mean, Nokia's... Yeah. I'm trying to remember if my candy bar phone...
Those things were rocks. I always had a signal, and the batteries lasted for an eternity.
Yeah. Well, they're 2 years away from smartphones here. I think maybe in 05 you could get a Trio or whatever. It's sort of smart.
It is fun to go back in time and watch a movie where people talk on the phone. It's just fun. Like, people talk on the phone in older movies.
Yeah.
And they don't, like, there's really not, there's no need to talk on phones anymore.
I can tell whether I want to go see a movie or not. There's a movie currently playing. I can't remember what it was called, but I do know that the poster featured prominently a text screen. So someone was texting back and forth with text. I'm like, I'm not going to see that. I'm not going to watch a movie and watch people text. I don't find that engaging at all.
Yeah.
Not even one of these. You're probably talking about, I think it's called Missing. It's the woman
who's trying to track down
the woman who's trying to track down her mother. Mom, and then finds out that there's, but it's one of those, like there was another one that I think was called Searching.
Missing, Searching. I'm seeing a theme.
I think it's by the same director.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
And his name is Nick Johnson. Scott.
Oh, no way.
Oh, look at that.
Wow. He's been moonlighting. Had no idea.
But yeah, it's, the whole movie is told through browser screens and text message screens and presumably YouTube and Zoom and stuff like that.
I am very much, and I'm probably going to eat these words, I prefer movie with facial expressions
and people speaking
and
out loud.
People and emotions. People emoting, I like to see people's faces and reactions.
It'll be experimental. It's not like you're going to suddenly see all of Hollywood adopt this, but the way they do it now, like in a TV show or a movie now, if they're trying to express this kind of intense like exchange that we used to do over a phone on the plane or on our stupid cell phones that were going out of battery or whatever, the way they do it now is they have that stuff pop up on screen so you can read it.
Right.
Superimposed text messages. The show Ms. Marvel did it great with like those text messages showing up not as little word balloons, but as things in the background of the two characters texting each other.
Yeah, that I liked. I thought that was great.
Neon signs and the bodega and you know, stuff
like that. We're currently in the backlash to it. There was a whole decade, the 2010s, where it seemed like everything was going to whatever is the hot new thing, right? A bunch of movies about people who were live streaming and found out there's a crime and they got to solve it or whatever. And like, we're in the backlash now. And a lot of writers are like, okay, I'm going to make a prestige television series and I'm going to take all my actors and send them to a resort and keep them all together where they don't have to text each other or call each other. They're going to all be within sight of each other.
Yeah. Or what you do is you do period stuff. You do, you're like, oh, our thing's set in the 70s. Sweet. You can do the same crime story, set it in the 70s, and now people got to use the damn freaking payphones and those.
There are so many series that are set between the Gilded Age and the Industrial Revolution right now. Like, it's crazy how much TV, like these prestige television series, right? Like, and they have names like 1883, 1919 or whatever, right? Yeah. Like, you just get away from all this tech.
The problem with it is it's just too present. So like when you want to try to get me all invested in a story where everything's hinging on them texting back and forth, it just feels too much like I'm talking to my mom or something. It's like
it becomes
a
first person
too.
Right.
Yeah. It comes first person instead of third person where you're like watching there's places to make storytelling like that. Like I said, I'm just giving it a hard time.
I want to come back to that, Brian. Okay. So looking at movies that have had a sort of gimmick, right? Like the whole Searching and Missing movies are based around a gimmick of, hey, we're going to tell the entire story in browsers and stuff like that.
Right.
Can you think of any gimmick movies that had some sort of, we're going to basically put ourselves in this limitation, this world, and not
it's called Blair Witch Project, and I loved it during the day. Okay. They're experimental. not something I want to go, you know what I would like to do? Experience Blair Witch again. Really, Brian? No, not really.
I like found footage movies, but you're right. Yeah. They're usually kind of one and done for me. But I'll give you an example. Yeah. I love the movie Host, which came out in 2020.
No, that's good. That's really good.
And the whole thing's told over Zoom. It's set during the early days of the pandemic, and it's a bunch of friends getting together to do some seance thing.
But that's like a self-help thing, right?
Keep keeps dying on Zoom at a time, right?
It's extremely well done.
You still got people's faces, right?
Oh, yeah, no. It's still all about the people's performances, and it would suck without it.
You still have the characters' faces in Missing the current searching? Thing, because it's searching, whatever it's called. Because she still has to react to the news, and so you're seeing her face over Zoom as she's talking to a detective.
My ignorance.
Yeah. Well,
oh, no, not at all. How about you, Randy? Any gimmick movies these things was like, hey, we're going to try and do a whole movie.
Cloverfield and all that stuff is fantastic.
Cloverfield's a good one. I like, I think we watched it, Nick of Time, with Johnny Depp, where there's a clock superimposed on the...
Did we watch that for
you? Yeah, did we try to? I can't remember now.
I thought we did.
We might have.
I watched it.
I know. How about that one with the first... person view Henry, Henry. Yeah.
Oh,
that's a gimmick. It's not tech gimmick.
Hard hat Harry. That's
hard hat.
Hard killing Harry.
But that was the whole. You're close. The gimmick there was you'll never change from his first person view. He's running all the time and never stops. It's not quite the same, but it's this gimmick of. It's not the kind of thing you actually see every movie go, oh, we're all going to adopt this new way of storytelling.
Hardcore,
it's always going to be
hardcore Henry.
Hardcore Henry. Yeah. That's right.
I do like the Paranormal Activity concept. Like, if you took all the Paranormal Activity movies and made a supercut of just the best little moments, I would think that's really, really great.
Yeah.
It loses itself on me after about 15 minutes. Mm. I just don't. That gimmick doesn't work anymore, but I really did, you know, is it?
I think horror kind of is pretty good with occasional flashes of that where you're outside and you're watching somebody become a victim and it makes you feel helpless. So I think that kind of works in lots of ways.
And I feel like so much of this goes back to the Truman Show for some reason. Mm. I always think of that as like starting something. Mm. Like it got all these
filmmakers certainly big
thinking about. Yeah. About what, you know, what it, that would be like, you know?
Right. Maybe not the first, but certainly one of the biggest.
Oh, yeah.
Most I recognized the, as we started seeing, oh, yeah, we're always going to be in front of cameras.
That movie's now 25 years old.
Oh, my Lord.
Oh, is it really?
Such a great movie.
Wow.
Such a good movie. Another one that I would recommend people check out, I talked about it last year a little bit, but this 2022 game, it's almost a game. A movie called Deadstream, where this dude goes. It's very Sam Raimi is the best way I can describe it. Like I felt like Sam Raimi had a hand in it. He didn't. It's very independent. But this guy live streams from inside a house in a place called Pleasantville, Utah. But anyway, this old haunted place in the middle of the woods, and he live streams the whole thing because he's this huge influencer guy, and it's like a Twitch platform, but they have to call it something else because they couldn't get the rights. But they do it. They do it with knowledge of how all that shit works. So it's not like the net where everything doesn't work that way. It does work the way he makes it work, and he uses these like multiple GoPro cameras, and it's all tied to his portable 5G rig he carries on his back, and it ends up being one of the most disturbing and kind of funny horror movies. And I went in going, I'm gonna hate this because of the stupid concept. And I came out going, I was wrong. That was actually really good.
Well, I looked at this on, it was on Shudder, right?
Shudder. I think they call it a Shudder original now. They paid for the rights to have it there always, but yeah.
And what really struck me about that movie was it's going to look terribly dated 20, 30, 40 years from now. Like there's just no way we're going to look back at something like that and go, oh, remember when everybody thought they were going to be Mr. Beast. Oh, that's really fun. You know, like,
it'll be also, you know, we'll have a pair of mixed reality lenses that do the entire rig for him now. And that'll seem like sci-fi today, but then this will seem so antiquated, but
if it's lucky, it'll be a cult classic.
Yeah.
Did anybody here watch the movie Spree with the dude from Stranger Things that had the hair?
Is that the creation of the candy?
The hair guy.
The candy, the great documentary about the candy that we all love.
I wish it was. Oh, yes. No, it's about an Uber driver who
goes
rigs his whole car with cameras and then goes on like a killing spree, but nice. He took it with the plan to go viral. And I think I haven't seen
no
it,
ideas.
I think the whole thing is told via the camera footage in his car.
Brian, okay. I want you to do this to your Lyft car.
To yeah, my yeah. really rig it out. I've got one in there now, by the way. I just added it this week. It's a Ring cam now in my
right.
They have a cool. Ring car cam.
This and you looks, keep sprees in your so, car. And turn
you know what?
And go,
I would spree? Watch this. This looks like something I want to see. I might watch this.
This feels like something maybe we should do for film. Yeah, sec. We kind of all want to see it. Just go in completely blind.
Let's do it. It's got, David Arquette. Okay, cool.
A couple of SNLs, Kyle Mooney, Sasheer Zamata.
Yeah, Misha Barton's in it. I like her. Yeah. I would watch, yeah. Why not? I like that Joe Keery kid, or Keery.
Yeah. He's got good Keery. Hair, that kid.
That hair on him in Stranger Things.
Stranger Things.
Good Lord. I tried for that in high school. I never could get it, but I tried.
No, you just have to have really thick... You got to use a Tegrin or Vidal Sassoon for that business.
Oh, my Lord. I am going back in time now. Okay, I got a question. In this movie, there's they make a landing and they clap. And I remember thinking at the time, and also again, I don't think I've ever been on a flight where everyone clapped when we landed.
So this was
I've been on several.
Post 9/11.
Yeah.
Right. This was okay. So why, and not why, to mention, why, if it was a very turbulent ride, and sometimes when you have a very turbulent ride, you'll do that.
Okay. Yep, that is exactly it. Like the planes that I've been on where that's happened, it's like, oh my God, what a crappy rough landing or a crappy, you know, flying experience. But then once you land, then for whatever reason, the whole cabin.
You're applauding the staff, you're applauding the pilot, you're applauding everybody for not freaking the F out, because all inside everybody's going, oh my God, we're going to die.
Have any of you ever initiated the clap? Like, Brian,
have I ever initiated? No, I'm usually trying to get my baggage. Like, oh, we're doing this?
We're going to do the slow clap until everybody joins me. Like,
yeah. Someone's got to start it.
Somebody does have to start. It's true, actually. Yeah.
I don't want to be that guy, though. Never.
I never really thought about it. Like, I went on hundreds of business trips after 9/11, and I never really thought about people clapping, like, because it just, like, the flights would all start with the captain coming on. Set before you even like get out onto the takeoff lane, right? The captain would get on the mic and say, there's a tell you about himself and talk about how we're all Americans and we're gonna get through this just troubled time together.
We're all Americans, right? Nobody on the flight not American?
Raise your hand if you're not American. Not American.
Yeah. I heard this captain's speech on so many flights, and it gets everybody in a mood, you know?
Yeah.
And so then, like, when the plane was landing, lots and lots of people would clap. Like, they wanted the captain to hear it. They wanted, because they're now behind a locked door, they wanted the captain of the flight, who had riled them up at the beginning, to hear that they were happy. You know, and that's great and everything, but I never really thought about it until the pandemic started and everybody started going outside at sunset and banging on pots and stuff every evening.
God, I forgot
for
about
weeks.
That.
Yeah. And it was just like 9/11. I was like, oh yeah, people really want to, you know, like they want to be an audience that is applauding. They really like, that's what
people love
desire.
Clapping. Yeah. It's a weird human thing. This sense of like, in both negative and positive ways, obviously, there, you know, we could all be doing a Heil Hitler at the same time, and that makes you feel good about your choices. But you could all be clapping.
I don't recommend it.
Yeah, it's just there's something about that unity or everyone laughing at the same time, like at a comedy show. If only one guy's laughing, you're screwed. But if you're all laughing, hey, we're all in this together. I like that misogynistic, terrible joke he just told. We're all laughing. Woo-hoo!
See, it's funny, right? It's funny. It's okay.
It's
funny.
It's real funny.
I can laugh at this.
It's funny if we're all laughing.
No.
Do you guys notice Chris Pine's dad in this movie? Hanging out there at the beginning. He was
what was he doing?
He's the couple that was all complaining and they gave two free nights to. And
Yeah. I got you.
He used to be he was the chief of the LAPD motorcycle brigade or whatever in Chips. That was the other thing you know him from.
Yes, I got you. Yeah.
So Robert Pine, I believe, is his name.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. As soon as he came on, I went, Chris Pine's dad. Look at him.
Hilarious.
When you hear his voice later, you'll kind of hear a little Chris Pine in his voice. It's weird.
A little piney?
A little piney, yeah.
Did he speak? I mean, his wife was always the one.
Yes, he absolutely spoke. They had
airing it up, right?
They were comment card. They wanted to fill out a comment card.
There was a lot of comment cards. They reminded me of the couple in the sadly now canceled Avenue 5 couple with the dude from The Office and the lady who's British but played the. I know, I was so sad. I heard that and I was just pissed. I loved that show for as long as we had it. Now there's no closure on that thing.
No. Yeah.
No. I love it. I love it when an actor has, this long storied history, but it's like mostly one episode or two episodes of TV series. And then they happen to make an appearance in a soap opera because Robert Pine was in 64 episodes of The Bold and the Beautiful. Good Lord. That is nothing. That is nothing. Oh, 64 episodes is barely scratching your way into a soap opera. With a soap opera, I think you have to have 500 episodes before you're considered anything.
I just drove down
Wilshire Boulevard and I was in 12 episodes of Days of Our Lives.
I know.
So I was just looking at his thing. He's a busy dude.
He's looking
still
at his thing.
Robert Pine still working. Still working in lots of like prestige stuff, small stuff. Being the Ricardos, he's in that. He was in let's see here. He's in the Magnum PI show that sadly went away. Bunch of other stuff. So he was in that Jobs movie, Steve Jobs deal.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
He's a busy
Is that the Kutcher one? I can't remember which one was that with the Fassbender.
That's actually you just made me want to look. Nope, Kutcher.
Icon,
you're right.
Yeah, Icon was the Fassbender, right?
That's right. Jobs was Kutcher. And I haven't seen Kutcher. I haven't seen that one. Actually, I haven't seen either of those.
I haven't seen Kutcher.
You ever seen Kutcher?
Dude, where's my Kutcher?
Where's my Kutcher? Anyway, so there's that. Also, I was going to say, that missile. Okay. Right up until that point of the movie, I felt like we were pretty grounded. No pun intended with the plane reference, but we were pretty grounded most of the movie. Pretty believable, a lot of intense, very close up, intimate kind of a thriller, right? Like it's very much in the faces, and you're 2 inches from each other all the time, and that's kind of what the movie is. And then suddenly we're fishing up a missile and we're flying it across the ocean, and it turns into freaking Die Hard. It was insane, that bit.
Nobody will ever look this direction while we fire this missile into the side of a hotel. Yeah. Well, and nobody will ever be able to trace the smoke trail back to this boat. Will ever be able to meet us on shore.
And these cops that go and inspect them, right? Because they realize, oh, that's a threat. That's a huge threat. Yeah. Look at that. There's one boat in the entire, on all of Miami Beach.
Right.
There's one boat. Like, wow, what a strange day that we have to find ourselves on.
You would definitely let them continue fishing because this is America, gosh dang it. But you sure enough would be like 20 foot away from them.
You could just park
a mile. No, go ahead and fish. We're watching.
We just park ourselves over here. And they had really funny markings too. It didn't say Coast Guard. It didn't say Miami Police. It said something like, it would have been, I think it would have been Broward County Sheriff is actually who you would have sent out there, but it was somebody else. And it was like the boat said something like coast police or something. Coast, and like, why did you guys just like look around their boat and leave?
Right. any coast police would have recognized immediately that these guys weren't out there for a fishing trip. None of those guys were wearing like, cut off t-shirts or nothing. None of them looked like real fishermen. But yeah, I'll tell you this also. I was laughing the whole time because from the very beginning, by the time that guy got that rocket launcher on his shoulder, I'm like, that thing has to smell like so much fish. It was boxed with frozen fish, and then it was in the ocean, and they fished it out.
It would be far better if they would have unwrapped like saran wrap or something, like had it wrapped up in something like, God.
Yeah, that's gross. Oh, speaking
of gross.
Were you gonna
pick at the actual rocket launcher? Like, it wouldn't do that?
No, that didn't bother me so much as it just...
It was over obviously, the top, right?
Yeah, it was just really over the top. And the way that that's kind of weird, half CG looking attempt to make it look first person coming at the building, and then the guy standing in the way and seeing it and going, like, I don't know, that whole bit.
You called it because you sent us that animated GIF on our Discord channel.
Oh, the Code Red?
The Code Red. When they do Code Red, all of a sudden everybody's just scrambling.
Yeah, it was like, they were just like running around like Benny Hill. It was so, that was all totally dumb.
The first guy flails his arms like,
it was all real dumb, but I liked it in the end. I was fine.
Yeah, because you could tell it was a really thin part of the story, and they portrayed it just as that.
Just as thin.
I said it at the beginning. I want to say it again. These guys are very well funded. They have somehow acquired an FGM 148 Javelin. That is a very expensive weapons platform. I don't know I'm just saying.
Not that I've ever purchased one myself, you see.
The missile is estimated to run you $100,000. Mm-hmm. The missile, right?
Probably worth it. That guy's a douche.
The system that fires the missile is more like $250,000.
Yeah.
To like just the whole launcher part.
Yeah.
And they just drop it back in the ocean as they're fleeing. They're just
they're the luxury hotel of terrorists. That was the comparison they were making constantly, sure. Right? That he's a professional, she's a professional, he's never lied to her. And, you know, they're just doing their job. It's not personal, but now it's personal.
Yeah. And I think they actually fired a rocket and filmed it because, there was a really good shot of a rocket.
Those things, it's interesting because they seem to hang a little bit first and then the thrusters kind of kick in and get it going to where it needs to go.
Yeah. I wonder if this was video game footage. And was it that good back then?
No, I don't think so. Not in 05.
It looked good, though. Nowadays, I thought it looked pretty good.
Nowadays, a lot of this kind of thing, if you see this kind of thing in a movie, you're looking at video game footage that's been morphed into the
live. I don't know. I mean, they may have done that. They're doing that now. You know, the way they use Unreal to create all sorts of stuff now is pretty insane in Hollywood. Yeah. Back then, I don't know, just all of that felt like, shit, we got to have this scene. So, I don't know. Throw $10,000 at it and let's see if we can make it work. And
this is always a dangerous time when things start becoming when things progress to a certain point that they're just really easy to kind of get out the door. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like Photoshop. Like when you first get Photoshop, it's like, I'm going to edit some of my photos, and you process and it comes out and it's got like every filter in the book. And you're like, okay, I need to back it down a little bit. And so I feel like that's what was probably happening this time.
Yeah. I mean, you just drop your $250,000 anti-tank platform into the ocean.
Right into the ocean.
It just offended me.
It offended you? Yeah. Aww. It still smells fishy.
Well,
Scott's been looking things up, but he's not even.
No. I'm ready to tell you what's gross because you said fish.
I was going to ask you if there was something gross.
Oh, 100%. So gross. All right. So any guesses? To me, it feels obvious, but I have.
That fish gun.
Nope. No fish gun. I'll tell you.
I was pretty grossed out when the two of them were in the airplane bathroom together. I just felt like by this point, he doesn't smell good anymore. And he was just really in my face. He was really he's all over her. He's like wiping soap off the mirror, right?
Yeah.
And he's not really doing much. He's just spreading it around.
Do you wash your hands in the bathroom airplane?
Yes.
You do?
Okay. Oh, hell yes. I mean, I don't go in there very often.
I bring my own stuff. I bring my own stuff.
That's like your own soap and water?
Little squeeze. No, not soap and water.
You just do the hand sanitizer. You feel like that's enough.
Yeah, but how do you get those on the plane? Don't they stop
I'm just peeing. I'm not grabbing up my butthole. What are you guys doing in the bathroom?
No, I'm saying, I thought the TSA would take that kind of shit. Oh, 3 ounces.
3 ounces.
Yeah. Keep it on your little,
I think I do both of those things. I think Kim carries that when we go somewhere together, and then I'll also use that. I don't mind the soap; it's trustworthy in there.
Yeah,
yeah.
Oh, the soap is fine.
It's a push dispenser thing. It's not like you're picking up a bar that has a pubic hair embedded in its epidermis.
Whatever, COVID. What did gross Brian out the most?
All right, I'll just tell you then. Here's what grossed me out. You're all in the right zone. She waits for the bathroom. Guy finally comes out. He took a huge dump. You just know it.
Yes,
right?
You could tell.
You could tell. He took a huge, it's like Elaine in that episode of Seinfeld. And so he goes in there. She goes in there. And the first thing she does is freak out and panic. And then she's got to hurl. So within 20 seconds,
into the bowl that he just shit in.
Where that guy just took a dump like 20 seconds earlier. She is now face first in there. And I'm just like, all right, thanks a lot.
I don't know, man. I trust the vacuum of that thing that it would pull any, like the vacuum of those airplane toilets. It is like Dyson.
Pull anything.
So jealous of that vacuum.
Yeah.
But she just dipped her hair in there, man.
Yeah, she went all in. And she didn't. I don't think she even puked. I think she just gagged.
You know, the blue goo that comes in and cleans it out too. It's
I'm glad you brought this up
because I wrote down, I swear, why are movies so bad at depicting vomiting? I want to understand.
Some are good.
Why CPR? You can't just have somebody do CPR. You can't just have somebody vomit, right?
Well, they're either, okay, look, they are either overly exaggerated. Like, I just saw The Gentleman. Fantastic movie, by the way. Oh, yeah. But there was a scene where this guy was food poisoned on purpose, and he hurls, like, projectile across the room. It's way overdone.
They always give them like something like milk. I mean, throw up looks more like you took a can of Campbell's chicken like noodle soup
or something. Yeah,
if it just gets my mouthful of Campbell's chicken noodle soup.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Some people do it right, I feel like, and they get the sounds right, and they do all that. And I'm not saying they should, because I freaking hate it in movies, and it grosses the hell out of me. But I do respect it when they go. If they're gonna do it, go all the way. Like, get in there. Yeah. You know,
let me bring your attention to the trailer for the Oscar nominated film Triangle of Sadness, which features the most realistic looking puke in a freeze frame.
I should have said, why can't all movies depict vomiting, you know, good?
Because see, that looks like a Jack Daniels puke to me. That looks like
it looks like Goldschlager, really.
Yeah, Goldschlager.
You know what, Randy? Yeah. I have an answer for you. I think it's the same reason they depict sex or various other sort of human things, and they don't have the aftermath. It's like, oh, the passionate lovemaking of this famous actor and actress. Oh, sweet. But yeah, but where's the part where she's like tiptoeing through the room with a towel in her crotch or something? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. No, absolutely. And we're supposed to, what's the phrase? Suspend disbelief. Right. We're supposed to just like be feeling something and not like watching really closely is expected.
And in some movies, the movies that do it right are really trying to get that visceral, like, oh no, I don't want to see this. Like, I don't want to see somebody really barely breathing, gagging, vomiting on themselves. You know, the more realistic you get with that stuff, the more intense the scene, or the more, I don't know, the more that movie's trying to get under your skin, I guess. And if not, you're just like, oh, I just need the hint that she's so upset that it's made her sick on this plane. Any more than that, we're like, oh my gosh, get me out of here. I don't want to be in here.
I want to applaud both of these actors, Killian Murphy as well, for doing such a great job of not overacting. Cause I was thinking, I was trying to think of gross moments. I'm like, man, Killian Murphy could have easily like done something super over the top, creepy, like sticking his hands in her face or, you know, or touching her lips and you just be quiet, you know, and just doing something weird like that. And they both were like this quiet smoldering intensity that just,
yeah. Except he knocked her out in real life in that, in the thing, according to the trivia. Let's see, where is it?
Did you really? It
says in the scene in the plane bathroom, Killian Murphy actually missed the place to throw Rachel McAdam. She hit her head and was knocked unconscious. She was ready to work, and Murphy was afraid he was going to do it again.
I bet he's such a nice guy. I don't want to bet on people like that, but I just feel like he's a nice guy.
There's proof of this, by the way, because it was captured, it says, on film and is included in the gag reel on the DVD.
The gag reel.
It says in the take that is in the film, Murphy's hand can be seen holding the back of McAdam's head to guard it from hitting again. So if you watch really closely, he's like, I don't want to do that again.
Yeah. I just want to say he nailed his Midwestern American accent.
Yeah.
There were some shots of him speaking that you could tell, oh, that was the 18th take on the ADR, because it just wasn't quite right with what you were seeing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But he got it. Like, they really went to the lengths necessary to make him sound like he was from somewhere in Midwestern United States.
Yeah.
And he didn't ever look like he was really struggling. There were some lines that were hard. You could tell were hard on him, mm-hmm. but he never like was slipping into, Irish American Irish.
It's the luck of the Irish, you know,
this was just a well solid movie. This set in some really hilarious kind of,
on the other hand, Brian Cox can never sound like just an average American. He always sounds like a Scotsman who is trying really hard.
And there are certain words that he says, like, well, I don't know where you've been this whole time. Like, he'll all of a sudden in the middle of one of his lines, he'll have this word that's like, that's not how we say that word.
He's better at it now. He's really good in Succession. He doesn't seem to have a problem, but back then, you could definitely. I remember hearing it in Stryker, his Stryker voice, and going, wait a minute, where's he from? Yeah. That's weird. He's not American.
Scotland.
And you can, Scotland. And you know, you don't get 18 takes of Brian Cox, right? Like, he's an old pro.
I've done it.
No, we're going to do this. We're moving on to the next scene.
We're here. I look like I was sleeping. It's good enough for me. It's good enough for you. Move on. Yar. I know he's a pirate now.
Yar. Shave with 200 grit sandpaper. Let's go.
Speaking of performances, I think it's a good time as any for some title or some what's it called?
Clips.
Clips. Well, the thing I've been doing for the last decade. What's it called again?
What's that called? Clips. Anyway, let's do it. Let's get Chris Pine's dad all up in this.
Cynthia, is it?
Yes, sir.
Would you get in more trouble if you bothered her or if I called corporate?
Kind of hear Chris.
I can hear it now.
Yeah.
That weird.
Just Don't Worry, Darling. So it's like, oh yeah, that's I hear it.
Yeah, I like Chris Pine.
Good call, Scott.
Brian Cax in the house.
Good. They made some headway in the last few days. I lost my wallet, but that's par for the course. But it's looking good.
So you can kind of hear his accent.
Par for the course.
Par for the course. Let's see. Get your boss. Oh, this is that one I played.
Just get your boss. This is ridiculous.
That guy. And having him turn out to be the doctor kind of cracked me up. I was like,
yeah.
He was a dick the whole time. This is good.
Thank you for your patience, sir.
Yeah, right.
This guy's awesome, dude.
Yeah,
right. What a stupid airline.
hate all of you people.
Here is, I put now in full douche mode.
Whatever female-driven, emotion-based dilemma you're dealing with right now, you have my sympathy. But for the sake of time and sanity, let's break this down into a little male-driven, fact-based logic. One simple phone call saves your dad's life, and it has to be made soon.
Yeah, you'd never know he's Irish.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think I didn't know he was Irish.
Yeah. Like I say, they did a lot of work. They didn't let it slide. You know,
mm-hmm.
every little syllable there is ADR.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Courtesy of the Peaky Blinders.
Get those guns, Tommy. All right, here's a bit about. I like the musical pronunciation. Read. So here you go.
I have to assume she's going to read that.
Read what?
See, I can't say enough about this sound, actually. I thought it was really good.
Yeah.
The music was really
stinging. Yeah. When you punch somebody, everyone should hear a timpani.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I say. All right. Here's one about, you have to listen really close to hear this, but I listened close, and so I heard it. Here it is.
Excuse me.
Yeah. See?
Nailed it. Nailed it.
I love sound work on airplanes anyway, because like you can't hear anything when you're inside an airplane.
Right.
You have to shout. Everyone around you can hear what you're saying because you have to shout. Like I love how this airplane is supernaturally quiet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little bit of hum, but not what you're used to. All right, here's there was also this other scene.
Excuse me. This isn't a motel.
I only fart in motels.
Wow. There was more use of the phrase
excuse me on this flight than any flight I've been on in the past 20 years.
The other thing that appears on the script over and over really late in the movie is, hey, apparently right before you throw something at someone and they're not looking at you, you have to yell, hey.
I wrote that down. Like, why give them the chance to put their hands up and defend themselves? Why 100%. Just throw the freaking vase at them?
I wrote it down. Yeah. In fact, I recorded it. Here it is right here. Why would you do this?
Hey.
I mean, it's a great shatter, but why say hey? Don't give him any warning.
No, hit the back of his head with that vase. That's better.
So dumb.
It's better.
That happens like four times, including Brian Cox with the kill shot.
Yeah.
Oh, he does it too, doesn't he?
Hey. Hey. Bam. Yeah. I don't know. I guess it's a movie after all.
It's a movie.
Here's some, here's trash.
Trash.
Yeah, trash.
Trash.
That was Susie Parkson. Is that her?
Is that the other flight attendant? Yeah.
Plaxton. Yeah, Susie Plaxton. She was the main one. She was the one that was like settled down now, right?
Yeah, she's great. Yeah.
Trash.
Yeah, she's great.
A lot of TV stuff.
Where is it now?
Where's your male-driven, fact-based logic now, Jack?
Yeah. I realize that's the only Jack. Rachel McAdams sound I played during the entire thing here. Sorry, everybody.
I guess this was a time when all of that was kind of new. Like, if you weren't around before this, you might be surprised to know that, like, Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, or Dr. Phil, the entirety of Dr. Phil was a really new thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so people were actually talking about this kind of nonsense. Yeah. And, you know, like now it's just so cringy.
Dr. Phil here. No. I got shit to say in my book.
I'm going to fully support the MyPillow guy for running for...
Ooh, never mind.
You ever hug one of them pillars? Oh, man.
Don't try to pee on my leg and tell me that it's raining.
Here's Cynthia for a brief second.
I think we had a really good night, all things considered. Just that one incident, really.
I feel like I've seen her in a million things.
I know. Yeah. Somebody's going to help us out. Somebody out there is going to be like, oh, yeah, you know her from. She's
I tried to help you. Or she just wouldn't take
You didn't help at all. Besides, it sounds like Ibbett went through the same process as me. I went through every single entry.
Scoured her IMDb. It's like, nope, don't know that one. Don't know that one.
I still don't. Yeah. But I know. Mandela effect, maybe something. Something's going on where I know her, like implicitly know this person.
You just know someone else who's very similar to her.
That's what I think it is. I'm sure somebody's going to say, yeah, you're getting it's Anna Faris or it's this or it's that. I'm sure it's going to be something like that.
Wait, wasn't Anna Faris in Paul Blart? Or am I thinking of something else?
That's her.
No, she's in Paul Blart.
Who,
Anna? Anna Faris is in Paul Blart?
No, Jayma Mays is in.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, that's what I thought. But Anna Faris is in a movie about a security cop in the mall. Oh, it's the one with Rogan, with Seth Rogen. The kind of serve and protect. Yeah, the dark one.
Oh yeah, the dark one.
Yeah, that was right before
that movie.
That Dick Chris Pratt left.
Dick Trip. What?
Dick Trip. Oh. Let's move on. That's it for that. Those are your clips. It's now time for this here. Oh boy. Time for the Film Sack checklist. Never trust a guy with Kill in his first name. Check.
Yeah, good point.
Never trust the Scarecrow after he does small talk and buys you a drink. Check. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Cillian Murphy's cell phone sucks. Check. Moving on to Star Trek Connections. Got to be somebody. Maybe Robert Pine.
So many that I ran out of room and time. We have, this is going to highlight what the cast, what their characters' names are. I'm sorry. I didn't name these characters, okay?
Okay. I'm sorry.
So we called out Angela Patton, who played Nice Lady. I'm not making that up. Mm-hmm. Yeah. She was on an episode of Voyager. Beth Toussaint, who played Lydia Keefe. That would be the Department of Homeland Security director's wife. Yeah. She was on an episode of The Next Generation.
I love her, by the way.
Yeah, she's great. Lots of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, she's like Tasha Yar's sister. I don't remember. She's very closely related to Tasha Yar.
She wears a very awkward blue spandex thing for most of her episode of Next Generation. Trek,
yeah. Lauren Lester was Irate Passenger in this movie. She was in an episode of Deep Space Nine. Okay. Let's get on to our bigger ones. Susie Plaxen, who was Senior Flight Attendant, was in one episode each of The Next Generation, Voyager, and Enterprise.
Look out.
Day Young, who was that Dallas gate agent, remember?
Oh, yeah.
Was in one episode each of The Next Generation, Deep Space Nine, and Enterprise.
Okay.
And then Robert Pine, Chris Pine's dad, Captain America Senior, whatever you want to call him, was...
wrong Chris, but keep going.
Right, sure.
Yeah.
He played Bob Taylor in this. And he was in one episode of Star Trek Voyager. He was in one episode of Enterprise. In Voyager, he got to play an ambassador. I just think they should have done more with him. He was.
I remember that role. I thought it was good.
Yeah.
It was solid. Well, good job, Chris Pine's dad. And Chris Evans, don't worry about it. We didn't.
And of course, Robert Pine has another connection via the first J.J. Abrams movie. Because, you know, his son was at the very beginning of that.
Oh, yeah. Good point. Well, not the very beginning. He was in all of it. You're thinking.
Yes. Once again, I keep.
You're thinking of George Kirk, played by Chris, the other Chris.
The real dad versus the fake dad.
Yeah, so Robert Pine may have been on the set of every J.J. Abrams.
He could have been.
Yeah. We got a little Hemsworth in here. All right. Sure. Nicely done. Let's get to the soundtrack grade to give it a P for perfect for this kind of thing. I thought it was just great.
Yeah.
No issues. No, nothing took me out. All sounded good to me. But now let's drive headlong into what we call the Twitter post. Now, I'm sorry to tell you that unless you go disable your text-based 2FA, two-factor authentication, you will not be able to post anything here on here. But assuming the three of you have done that, you'll be fine. Let's start with Randy.
Red Eye. Cillian Murphy picks a fight with Rachel McAdams, and we get to spend 80 minutes finding out who dies and who lives to give Mr. and Mrs. Karen the finger back at the hotel. Spoiler alert, it's Rachel McAdams.
Oh,
shit. You would have never guessed that the Die Hard character wins because it's a woman and you've never seen a movie or something.
Oh, man. If I mentioned I had a giant crush on her, and it came from the Family Stone in particular. Mm-hmm. Something about her in that movie. She is my type. Anyway. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Kim. Moving on. Let's go now to Brian Dunaway.
Since we played the clip, might as well read the quote. Red Eye, for the sake of time and sanity, let's break this down into a little male-driven, fact-based logic. One simple email will cancel your HBO Max account right now. And it has to be done soon. Hashtag pink eye going bad.
You know, Rachel McAdams, Scott, is in one of the top 10 most used memes on the internet of the last, 20 years.
Which one?
Oh, the notebook one?
She has
one?
Great expressions.
No. The one where she's driving a car in Mean Girls and says, get in, loser, we're going whatever.
Oh, yeah. Always forget she's a Mean Girls meme.
Because yeah. she's girls. So you wouldn't think she'd be mean
girls.
She's the prime mean girl.
Yeah,
right?
She is the meanest of the girls.
The meme girl? Yeah. She's the memest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really like her. Brian Ibbett, it's your turn.
Red Eye, in case of an emergency, tropes will drop from the ceiling. Please put on your own trope before helping the passenger with dreamy blue eyes next to you. Hashtag Killin' Murphy.
Nice. Also, I like that pink eye leads to red eye, Dunaway. I like that.
Yes, it happens. It does.
I really appreciate that Brian Ibbett just keeps going back to the well of kind of having a thing for Cillian Murphy. I just
kind of do. I mean, I'm not going to lie.
I love him.
Lost in those dreamy blue eyes.
It's easy to get lost because they're deep. They're like 14 inches into his head. They're so far.
They
are.
They go beyond. They're like one of those mirrors in front of a mirror with the lights around the frame that just seems to go on forever. Mm-hmm. That's his eyes.
He was having a hell of a year, by the way, because he was in Batman Begins, which then solidified him as like Nolan's favorite dude to carry forward into everything else he ever made. It felt like he's in the new. He is Oppenheimer in the new Oppenheimer movie coming up.
Do you think he had a worse time? His character had a worse time on this flight than his character in Inception had on his flight.
Oh shit! I forgot that was a flight.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Boy, that was like revenge. Is what that was like.
It was. Yes.
Oh, I loved him in that. That was so good.
But did you see every season of Peaky Blinders?
I did. Yes.
I'm behind a season. I love that show. But
I can't get over how there are only 36 episodes of Peaky Blinders in total, because it feels like 200.
No way. Are there really only 36? Yeah. It does feel like there's many more than that.
I mean, they were what, 10 each? Maybe you had a few extra per season. So that makes sense.
Yeah, what is it? Four seasons? Eight?
6x6 is, I think.
6x6. Really? They only have 6 episodes per season?
I might have to go rewatch it just because that sounds like something I could swallow in a weekend. That's great.
You can't possibly watch all 6 seasons of Peaky Blinders.
But you can't do it.
It's just too much. It would be the end of my life.
I do love that show. I don't know why I haven't watched that last season. And if it's only 6 episodes, I have no excuse.
That feels like hearing that. If you would have asked me, I would have said, 6 seasons, 12 episodes per season. So 72 episodes. Yep. But no. Holy cow.
Weird. All right. Let's move on to... the alternate. Did we do it? Yeah, we did, everybody. Let's go to alternate titles. These are titles that almost were. Misled Eye. It wasn't quite what they wanted. Okay. Or Getting Hit with the Mile High Club. let's do emails. Filmsack@gmail.com. We got an email from Jeff in Clintonville, Ohio, who says this.
Jeff.
Hello. I have a suggestion for a movie, but I know it's not streaming anywhere for free. He says, it's The Experts, 1989 with John Travolta. The Experts streaming where... Oh, sorry, that's a link he gave me to just watch. Synopsis, he says, two New York City cops get jobs starting a nightclub in small town USA. What they don't know is there's a spy training model town in the... It's a spy training model town in the USSR.
Oh,
Jeff, that sounds weird.
Yeah, sure.
Sign me up.
Put it on the list. I've never even heard of it. It's news to me. We also got a couple of texts here. Let's see. One of these, well, they both came to 801-471-0462. This one is from Supergirl. She says, hello, I have a selfish request.
Hello.
You know how you do the thing where you shout out names of new patrons at the end of the show? Well, I joined at a time when the patrons' notifications were broken, according to Tom Merritt, and so I never got a live shout out. Any chance I can get a belated one? Thanks. P.S. Thanks for sacking Supergirl. Supergirl 100%.
Yep.
Oh, no, wait. You know what I just realized? She's saying thanks for sacking, not comma, or my name is Supergirl. She's saying thanks for sacking Supergirl.
Oh,
they didn't give me their name.
They didn't give you her name.
I didn't get a name.
No, not even her.
Thanks, Supergirl.
Crap. Yeah.
Getting a shout out for the Supergirl.
It didn't occur to me until I just saw it now in this new form here. So you know what? This person, whoever you are, she, whatever, don't care.
Thank you. Thank you, area code 846.
All I wanted was a shout out.
Send me another text, but this time have your name in there, and then I will do it.
This is Supergirl. My real name is Frank.
Oh, I love how easy it is to get Scott into that Anchorman moment where he just reads whatever's on the teleprompter. I love that.
It happens all the time. Totally. Happens all the time. Yeah. All right, here's another one we got from so this person absolutely did not leave their name. And they said, interesting fact, Rambo only kills one cop on screen in First Blood, the one who falls out of the helicopter. 75 kills in the second movie. So we were attributing a lot of cop kills to Rambo that I don't think happened. There was just the one dude who died out of the helicopter, and that's it.
Yeah, and we've only seen the
first two. That's all it takes.
We've only sacked the first two, but I don't think he kills any Americans or like anybody that you might identify with, right? In the second movie, it's all Russians and some, you know, Southeast Asians.
So why did they put him in the prison then? Like, what crimes did he commit?
All you gotta do is kill one cop, brother.
Right? Yeah,
but he fell out of the helicopter. I don't think it was a kill directly.
Well, it's still, if they hadn't been out there, it's his fault. Trust me.
He killed a cop, brother.
They found a way to blame it on him.
I want to go to a protest with Brian Dunaway sometime. You know, whatever. It doesn't even have to be anything. It'd be like, oh, they're putting animal parts in the bread factory. It is, I want Dunaway outside with a sign going, hey, they put stuff in there in the bread, brother. Like, I just want to hear you. I want to hear the kind of protester you could be. I really want to. Don't know why, I just do. Anyway, if you'd like to send us a text just like these fine people did, please send them to 801-471-0462. Again, that email address is 801-471-0462. Nope, that's the phone number again. The email address is filmsack@gmail.com. I don't know why I did that. I'm out of it today. Let's move on to our patrons. Now, these are people I can shout out confidently.
They really did give us their names.
Yeah, these are real names. We have brand new folks this week over at patreon.com/filmsack, such as Richard, Alex, Colden. We got Brian Garber, John Howell, and Daniel Kaufman all joined us since we last spoke. You guys are awesome. And you join a group of really awesome people who get all sorts of benefits, including no ads or commercials ever, which are kind of the same thing, so that's redundant. Pre-show content every week. We did that today, so you'll be getting that. And you'll get monthly special episodes from the hosts. We just did one from Randy. You got one from me coming up. And we kind of go in that order. That'll be Ibbot and then Dunaway and then back to Randy again. Oh, man.
That's right.
Anyway, also movie-related art prints in the mail. Just did a fun one for that. I basically did the opposite of Eraserhead. You'll see it. You'll know it when you see it.
Oh.
Yes.
Anyway, it was a weird idea, and I don't know why I did it. But anyway, other great monthly benefits. You can read all about it at patreon.com/filmsack. Our next film will be Nonstop.
We are sacking the airplane movies, guys. We're sacking them.
Yeah.
Every inside an airplane movie.
It's actually good for me in a weird way. It's cathartic because I have a lot of, even as a kid, just a lot of pent up flight anxieties.
Yeah.
And seeing them in movie form is always a great way of dealing with those anxieties without me being there. I don't know. It's hard to explain. But it's
makes sense.
That's why I like apocalyptic stuff and zombies and stuff because, you know, I wouldn't want that in real life. So I may as well watch somebody else do it. Anyway, Nonstop. Who's in this? I don't even remember which one this
is. Liam Neeson, Julianne Moore.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. Scoot McNairy.
Sweet.
And this is a Jaume Colette Serra movie. So, like, we've recently seen this director, Black Adam, directed Jungle Cruise, if you care about that.
Oh, people like Jungle Cruise. Totally. Is well thought of.
Jungle Cruise.
Yeah.
Liam Neeson receiving texts that are superimposed over the screen, at least if the trailer is to be believed.
Sweet.
Fantastic. This is newish then. How many years?
2014.
Okay. Yeah. Is that it? I'm in. Yep. I'm all in. I like Liam Neeson stupid things, so let's do it. That's next week, nonstop. Currently streaming on, you guessed it, HBO Max. That's where everything is.
Going to learn how to say this director's name. It might be Hama Coletzera.
Sure. I don't know. Sure.
We're going to learn. We're going to find out together.
What kind
Jow
of
wine?
Yeah. What kind of wine do you eat with that name? Anyway,
with a Hama.
Yeah, with a Hama. That's it. Thank you all for listening. Filmsack.com for all the details we may have missed. And if you can, review us wherever you get your shows. That'll do it for us, for me, for Brian, and for Randy.
Not in my house.
We'll see you next time.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.
Trash.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.